Beate Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, programs held at our center, or anything else that happens within the church area. This week is the week of prayer for Christian unity. I'm therefore replaying my interview with Pat Lyth that I recorded with her in January 2018. At that time, Pat was still in her position in the diocese that you will hear, but she retired in the end of the end of 2018. And January is the month in which the week for the prayer for Christian unity is celebrated in Northern Hemisphere. We here in New Zealand and in the Southern Hemisphere celebrated just before Pentecost. So here goes the interview. Pat, a warm welcome and hi to my show radio program.
Thank you, Beata. Nice to be here.
Pat is originally from Hamilton in New Zealand, and she's the leader of the Pastoral and Parish Service Group of the Diocese of Auckland. The pastoral officers serve the three levels of pastoral councils in the diocese: the parish councils, the regional councils, and the diocesan council. Pat has been to Muffin Talk a couple of times, and we've talked mainly about interfaith and ecumenism. In the Northern Hemisphere, the time between the 21st and the 28th of January, so the week that is coming up now, is the so-called Week of Christian Unity. Pat, can you tell us more about this special week?
It's actually the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, and it started with a group of people in the States who wanted to start to pray for Christian unity, and eventually it got taken on by the World Council of Churches, and the World Council of Churches started to promote it. And after the Vatican Council, the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity became a partner with the World Council of Churches, and they took on the organisation of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. Now, in the Southern Hemisphere, those dates don't work because everybody out here is on holiday. So, mostly, it's celebrated the week before Pentecost and finishes on Pentecost Sunday, which is the birthday of the church, so it's an appropriate day for it.
Yeah.
And so, in New Zealand, we've always held it in that week.
And who organised it? You say the World Council of Christians?
The World Council of Churches and the Pontifical Council for Promotion of Christian Unity, the two bodies, oversee it. But in the last 30 years, they have delegated one particular country to actually come up with the theme. So I don't know how they choose the country, but anyway, a country chooses a theme, and usually it's relevant to its own history or its own celebrations or a significant thing in that life. Whereas last year, because it was
Yeah,
500 years since the Reformation, it was Germany.
Yes.
And so it was based around that. And this coming year, the Caribbean churches are doing it. So yeah, every country makes its own choice.
And when the country makes a choice, when a country is chosen, or maybe they apply for being the next country,
yeah,
then they would also decide on the theme? Or
yes,
is it
they do. They decide on the theme. So the Caribbean Council of Churches decided on the theme, and the theme is "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power," based on Exodus chapter 15. It's always based on a scriptural text, and so that's the one they chose. And they chose that because it's about the Lord leading the Israelites out of captivity, and the Caribbean people feel that colonialization has been their captivity, and so they're wanting to pray about not only Christian unity, but liberation from oppression, if you like.
So it's almost a bit like social justice is involved.
Yeah. That usually happens as well. So part of the World Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, part of the preparation is not only the theological and the spiritual preparation, but also the background to why it's chosen and what countries have chosen it and what the history is. So it's actually a great learning opportunity for people to hear about different countries, mm-hmm. different ecumenical journeys, different aspects of Christianity.
And when you say that the theme is chosen by that country,
yep.
and when it goes worldwide, do they give like an input, so this is why we chose the topic, and then every country makes its own resources, or are their resources also done centralized?
The country that is chosen gets together and plans it pretty basically, and then sends it to a group of the World Council of Churches and the Pontifical Council. There's four people, I think, two from each. And they edit it, and then it is sent out. But all countries are told to adapt it to their own circumstances. So, for example, in New Zealand, we would use some New Zealand hymns and some Maori hymns and some Maori greetings and things like that. So every country's encouraged to make it, to adapt it to its own mm-hmm. context.
But then again, it's per country, so all the Christians in that country have the same resources.
Yes, all the Christians in the world have the same resources. So it's sent out to a central place, like the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference receives it and sends it to its Committee on Ecumenism, and they send it out to the diocese. They adapt it a wee bit. They sort of suggest what hymns you might like to sing, or some Maori prayers perhaps in it, but each group that picks it up can adapt it even more so.
Mm.
Yeah, so what happens in New Zealand is that the commission, somebody in the commission writes those things and sends it out. Normally gets sent about now, about February, when people are back at work in the church in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And in Auckland, the Diocesan Commission for Ecumenism and Interfaith Relations will organise one central service, and that can be in all sorts of places. It's been at St Matthew's in the city, it's been at St Ben's, it's been at St Luke's.
At Parnell.
Yes, in Parnell. It's mm-hmm. been at the Lutheran's place. It's been in different places. So I was just talking to the organiser this morning, and that hasn't been decided yet. But also, places like Takapuna, East Coast Bays, Wellsford, Pukekohe, all sorts of places do it themselves, and they'll have a meeting in one of their churches. Depends on how interested the Ministers Association in a particular suburb or small town is. The rural towns tend to be more ecumenical than the city suburbs, but some of the suburbs are really good. Takapuna, for example, is one that's really good.
But if a place that's chosen is on the North Shore, for example, it's more likely that you have other groups doing it in the south of Auckland.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. The main one can be anywhere in Auckland, and you don't get a lot of people. 50, 60, that's about it. But that's for the main one. But the suburban ones get more people as well. But not only that, so quite often what happens is, for example, in Takapuna, they have morning prayer in a different church each morning of that week. So, and those resources are part of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity resources.
Mm-hmm.
And also we send out those resources to parishes, and they can print the prayers in their bulletins,
yeah.
and they can be said at Mass, even if it's not an ecumenical service, because the prayers are for unity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who just tuned in, you are listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are on air every Friday morning at 8:40 a.m. on Planet FM 104.6. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. My visitor today is Pat Lyth. Pat is the leader of the Diocesan Parish and Pastoral Group in the Catholic Diocese of Auckland, and we were talking about the Week for Prayer for Christian Unity. So it's going to happen in
May.
You say in May,
yes.
in New Zealand.
Yes.
And if there are 2 weeks of Christian unity in this way, the one in the southern hemisphere and the one in the northern hemisphere, has there been an attempt to shift it all to 1 week?
No, because it doesn't work. Yep.
So, because I understand what you said about New Zealand not having the chance to do
same
it.
Same with South America and Australia and all the Southern Hemisphere countries.
But it could be all around the celebration of the Holy Spirit.
It could be. That has been problematic, though, in that lots of parishes have a huge celebration on the Feast of the Holy Spirit for themselves, you know, just to celebrate the Holy Spirit. So everybody wears red and there's feasts and there's, you know, people pray in different tongues. And so to add the ecumenical part of it makes it a bit complicated. So Pentecost is not actually necessarily the best time to celebrate an ecumenical thing. The week before is good. Mm-hmm. But to actually finish on Pentecost Sunday hasn't actually worked particularly well. Normally it's in the afternoon. Everybody's exhausted from what they'd been doing in their own parishes in the morning. And so that's why there's not a big take-up.
Yeah. But is there a big gap between the 2 weeks of Christian unity or prayer for Christian unity? Is there an exchange of experience?
No. Actually, I've never seen any comments on what happens in the Northern Hemisphere. It's interesting.
Oh, because I was thinking if it's happening a few months beforehand, they would say, oh, well, this is our, this is the result, or this is the feedback that we've received, or don't do this.
Yes, that would be interesting. Yeah, it would be interesting. I guess we ought to ask that question.
I have to ask the question in a different
way. I noticed that in the preparation for this year's one, they're saying they're given the Bible text, but they've also said the symbol should be chains of oppression, three chains. It'd be interesting to know how that was handled in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, and of course, with the Northern Hemisphere, it's a different relation to slavery with the colonial powers coming from Europe. That's right.
I think it's quite a good idea to have two, because it means we're continually praying for Christian unity rather than just once a year. But there are other opportunities as well. There's the World Day of Prayer, which is always the first Friday of March, which is organised by women's groups, and that's just... It just happens. Women's groups all over, Christian women's groups all over New Zealand just organise it. So it's the first Friday in March always. And then there's a week of prayer for peace, which is in November, I think, which is not nearly as well publicised as the week of prayer for Christian unity. So there are things happening all the time, but this one is the major one in the world anyway.
Do you think that this week of prayer for Christian unity needs more support by churches or by different church groups?
Ecumenism has fallen down the agenda of many church groups in New Zealand for two reasons. One, secularisation is we've lost a lot of people from our churches, or we've lost a lot of people who want to do anything extra apart from their one going to church on Sunday, so that they're not into anything extra. So that's one reason. Secularisation is one reason. That means, you know, I mean, people are working at weekends, sports at weekends, things like that. But the other thing that's impacting on it is the interfaith and the growth of a whole lot of new faiths in New Zealand, which is fantastic. Buddhism and all of those new faiths that we've got. And that's become the flavour of the month, if you like. So people who want to do work at relationships are actually going into the interfaith one rather than the ecumenical one, because the ecumenical one has seemed to have got stuck. We seem to have done lots of things together and we don't seem to be able to get any further.
But I think that the ecumenical part is needed if you want to go to the interfaith.
Yes.
Because if interfaith groups invite Christians, and if they don't know about the different Christian denominations, then they would just take one Christian, and if that Christian doesn't know about other Christian denominations, how can this person represent Christians?
I agree. But that's just what has happened. Yeah.
And do you think that also with the immigrants coming from maybe countries where there's one dominating denomination, that has an impact?
Yes.
Because I was just thinking, you mentioned that it was the United States where it started. And in the United States, you had a big melting pot of people from different religions, different, and mainly Christian religions in the beginning, coming all together in the country. And so they were maybe curious in how can we get along better? And with all the Pentecostal movement starting, wasn't it in the beginning of the 20th century when this week was initiated? When was it?
1928. But then that was when the first ecumenical initiative started as well. So that's when World Council of Churches started, when it sort of started, all of that, when we started to get together again, having separated. But we've got to the stage of doing lots of things together and of accepting lots of things, like we accept one another's baptisms. But there are the two sticking points are how do we view Eucharist and ordination. So those are the two sticking points. There's another sticking point now, which is causing quite a bit of division among the churches themselves, and that's how to deal with the gender issue. So, So ecumenism has sort of got stuck. We keep at the relationships, but we don't seem to be able to progress it.
But if you're in a public school, would you learn anything about other denominations in general? When I think back in Germany, we had the Lutherans and the Catholic, and there were some other groups, but they were really minor. So as a Catholic, you would learn something about the Lutherans, and the Lutheran would learn something about the Catholics. And here in New Zealand, you don't have these. They're really two big churches. There are so many churches.
There are four big ones.
Yeah, do you really learn of the other ones?
Not unless your social studies teacher takes that as a topic. There are options for that to happen. It doesn't happen in most schools. It's part of the history, just but a very small part. Yep.
So in a way, you have to create an awareness in the beginning so that people, when they grow up, that they already know a little bit about the different denominations.
Yeah.
Because if you come from a country that is mainly Catholic, for example, and they have never met a Methodist, they don't know what is the difference.
No, that's right. That's right. And, of course, the Filipinos come from a country that's mainly Catholic, and that's difficult for them, although they actually have a reasonable understanding of the other faiths. It's more difficult, I think, for people who are Muslim or Sikh to understand the difference between the Christian. But you and I were both at a meeting recently with Indian people from India who talked about all the different religions in India.
Yes.
So we didn't know. I didn't know that. Didn't know most of that. So there's a whole lot of things we don't know.
Yes.
Whereas we prepare for Christian Unity, when they choose a country, that helps to actually spread that particular part of the information. But I've been recently, in September last year, went to a conference in Canberra called Receptive Ecumenism. And that's the way they're trying to focus ecumenism now, which means we listen to one another. We listen to one another's stories to find something that might enrich our own faith. So not to criticize and not necessarily to take on board the doctrine that's behind it, but maybe there's something in that faith, in that religion, that would enrich ours. And so it's like sharing gifts. So that's what the reception part is. And at that conference, there was a group from Sweden, from the Swedish Council of Churches. And there are four major groups of churches in Sweden: Catholic, Lutheran, I don't know whether Lutheran is the right one, Orthodox, and Reformed. And they decided that they would really work hard at this receptive ecumenism. And so what they did over 18 months, they planned four weekends. And each weekend was hosted by one of the groups at one of their institutions, one of their retreat places. And they went there and they learned about the prayer style of that particular church. But they also looked at questions and they engaged in really deep conversation. So that was the first weekend. The second weekend, they went to a place in the forest and they did the same thing, but they paired them off in different groups and sent them out into the forest to talk to each other in the middle of creation, so that it wasn't just in a building, it was actually in the forest. And the third weekend, a different group again, they went to a place where there was a lake and they went out in kayaks on the lake in pairs to talk about their own particular faith. And then the last weekend, they debriefed about it all and they came to this conference and they talked to the conference people there, and they were all absolutely wowed by that experience, by the intensity of the experience and the you know, the amount of time they'd spent and the getting to know each other and the relationships. So it seemed to me to be something that I'd like to, you know, promote here at some stage.
Well, we started with an exchange of songs, of hymns.
We did. I'm not sure whether that's gone very far. We've actually exchanged our hymns, but we actually haven't sung them in different places.
But on the other hand, if you look at some of the traditional Catholic hymns, they were actually written by Lutherans.
That's right.
It merged, and who knows about it if you don't look at the fine print.
And most of the major hymns were written by Methodists anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
By Wesley. Especially the English ones.
Yes, that's right, exactly. Yes.
That's a kind of ecumenism, but it has merged so much that you don't realize it anymore.
That's right. Which is great. I mean, it's a huge change from 60 years ago, when we weren't Catholics, we're not allowed to talk to anybody else, we're not allowed to go to anybody else. You know, it's a huge change. So, although I'm sad that we're not moving as fast as we could, we have moved a hell of a long way. And 50 years is not long in the history of the church.
but also, the groups get to know each other, but then there are evangelical groups who might not even take part of it. And you mentioned earlier the secularization in the country. So if you don't know much about your own religion, even if you're baptized maybe, then you also might get mixed up and don't know what do we really believe in.
True.
If there's nobody to give you guidance.
True. Yep. And one of the difficulties with, that's another aspect of the discussion in New Zealand, is that the evangelical, and I'm not sure that's the right descriptive, the Pentecostal churches don't tend to want to learn from one another. They tend to want to convert, which is what we used to do. But that's not what ecumenism is all about. Ecumenism is about learning from one another and seeing what we can hold in common. And so that makes it difficult as well. Difficult.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the problems that also in other countries exist, that you have the cooperation between the established churches, but not the new sprouts.
That's right. And the new style churches are attractive to young people because they've got good music, good preaching, and that's it. And that's, you know, that's half of what we have, but that's what attracts the young people. And so it's really difficult to say, okay, well, the rest of it's important as well, but we've forgotten. We just take it for granted that they know about what it is and they don't.
And I think one of the challenges is also in a way you'd have to explain to young people the differences of the church, and then at the same time explain that we are all one.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
So.
Yes. Yeah, and they say, well, how, why? Why? Why are you all different? Well, I don't know. I suppose it's like youth, like music groups. They're all different. You can't put them all together. They all have a different style. It's a different style, really. It's a different style of worship. It's a different style. It's a different. We all believe in the creed, and we all share the baptism, but there are differences in the way we process it, really. Yeah, and those are the things that are going to be sorted in the next 100 years, probably.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be here to see it, but I think they'll get sorted.
But if there are committees and groups that come together and exchange their ideas, yes. and each one comes from a different area
yes.
and with a different background, I think that's a good start.
Yes.
And as long as also the priests and the ministers are in favor of it, that people understand each other, because then it also makes it easier for a couple that is maybe not of the same denomination, and they might only know the information from 50 years ago from their parents or grandparents and think, oh, we don't even approach the church. But if they'd known about the cooperation, yep. it would be easier for them.
Yep, it's true. It's true. And now probably in the Auckland Diocese, half of the clergy are from countries overseas countries, and not necessarily the same ecumenical cooperation happens in those countries. So we have an education process with them as well. And of course, they're the leaders in their parishes, and they influence the way their people believe. So, yes, it's interesting. And they have enough difficulty with getting to grips with the New Zealand culture, and quite often they don't go to ministers' associations because that's just an extra, that it's a bit too difficult for them at the beginning. So the ecumenism doesn't get started very quickly.
Are there many parishes in Auckland that have a convener for ecumenism on the parish council, for example?
No, there are none.
So that's another way we can
right.
start.
Well, it's down as an option, but nobody chooses it.
Well, that's something that we'd have to work on, and hopefully some people will listen to the program and think about, well, we could start it. We could start something in the parish, and even if it's not a parish councillor, there could be a little group within the parish, mm-hmm. and that's how it can grow. And most areas in Auckland have a wide range of different Christian mm-hmm. denominations, so I think it's a way to reach out.
Mm-hmm. In our parish, I'm not sure that our priest goes to the ministers' associations, but we have a rest home in the parish that runs an ecumenical service once a fortnight, and a group from our parish runs that service once a fortnight. The priest doesn't have to be there because it's not a mass. So that's something that happens in many parishes, actually many suburbs.
Yeah.
Now with there's more and more retirement villages and rest homes, it's ideal.
Yeah, and so that's another idea for
right.
anybody who's interested in getting involved. And also they can contact you at the Diocesan Centre
yep.
if there's anything. And they can go through the Muffin Talk, and
yes.
We'll have it on Facebook.
Yes.
So if anybody's interested in getting involved in ecumenism, yeah.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Pat, for this interview, and thank you for having come to the program. Please remember that the theme for 2019 is Justice and Only Justice You Shall Pursue. This theme is inspired by Deuteronomy 16:18-20. The resources for the week have been prepared by members of the different churches in Indonesia. Please also note that there will be an ecumenical service on Sunday the 16th of June at 5 p.m. in the Anglican Cathedral, the Holy Trinity, in Auckland in Parnell, and you're all welcome to join for this special ecumenical service. And what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? On Monday the 10th of June, Sister Mary Catherwood invites us to join for 4 hours of prayer in the midst of daily life. The session is from 10:30 to 2:30. Mid-June, we will celebrate Matariki and Aotearoa New Zealand with 2 workshops. Friday the 14th of June from 7 to 9 p.m., Susan Healy will come and she will give an evening talk on Te Tiriti o Waitangi, Gratitude for the Land of Aotearoa. And a week later, on Friday the 21st of June from 7 to 9 p.m., Rangi Davis will come and give a presentation on Maori spirituality, Whakawhitai, gratitude. And on Saturday the 29th of June from 9:30 to 3 p.m., Linda Gao will give an introduction to mindfulness and Christianity. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead.